You are Locked On Wizards, your daily Washington Wizards podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome, welcome. What's up, DC? Welcome back to another edition of Locked On Wizards with SB Nation's Bullets Forever writer Ben Mehich and myself, Anthony Citadino. We're your hosts, and you are now Locked On Wizards. Go subscribe to Locked On Wizards on the Locked On Podcast Network, Spotify, Apple Music, or wherever you listen. Go throw us a follow on Twitter at Locked On Wizards. We have a great show ahead of us and a lot to get into. But first, this episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com and use the promo code Locked On, and you'll get 20% off your next order. We have a ton to get into, so let's get right into it. Ben, the District of Columbia and Wizards fans everywhere had a tough week. Thomas Bryant had the toughest week overall. Wizards starting center Thomas Bryant has suffered a confirmed torn ACL in the early minutes against Miami. Washington ended up losing to the Heat, making that their third loss in a row now. Earlier in the week, they took a loss to Boston, 116 to 107. Ben, I hope you had a better week than the Wizards. How you living, brother?
I will always love you. You know what that was, Anthony?
Oh, okay. Was that a little
That's
Whitney?
That's me saying goodbye to the hopes and dreams we had with this team at the beginning of the season and any optimism we had last week. Locked On Wizards podcast listeners, you remember last week, we came into the week optimistic, rattled off wins. We saw wins against Boston, Miami, all these teams. Not only did they lose, but they lost who we called, Anthony, the most important player on the team. We sang his praises and deservedly so.
Right.
I feel awful for Thomas Bryant just because he looked so good this year. He flashed all-star potential. He worked his butt off in the offseason to continue being one of the most efficient centers in the league. And with his injury, it saddens me to report, and that's why I sang beginning of the podcast. I don't know about you, Anthony. I don't see a good replacement on the roster with Robin Lopez and Mo Wagner. I think the season might be over, Anthony. So how do you think the Wizards should proceed? Do you think they stick with what they have in Wagner and Lopez, sign a free agent, make a trade? What are your thoughts on this injury, and how do the Wizards move forward? Can they move forward?
Yeah, right. This was awful. And for everyone that watched it, it was pretty gruesome when you saw the slow-mo replay. Prayers up for Thomas Bryant. Hope he has a speedy recovery. That's awful. We hope to see him back on the court next year, coming back better than ever, hopefully, you know, improved. That's never easy, especially for a guy like that who really, you know, got his chance from an injury. I mean, Dwight Howard went down, he got his chance and, you know, ended up playing really, really well, shooting really well from three and became one of the best shooting centers in the league. And he started out the season great, in my opinion. You know, he had a couple shaky starts against, you know, Embiid and Vujovic, but this season, it really looked like it was going to lead to something really, really great for Thomas Bryant. And, you know, he made it to the 10th game, not even 2 minutes in. It was awful to see, Ben. I don't really know where they're going to go from here, but Robin Lopez and Mo Wagner we talked about this early in the season. This was going to be one of their biggest issues. They're bigs. I mean, they don't have much depth there at all. And for something like this to happen, they're screwed. They're completely screwed. I mean, Robin Lopez and Mo Wagner are going to get eaten alive.
Optimistic Anthony said this season's over. I was hoping you'd counter
no, no, no.
Mo Wagner
no, no, no.
will become the next Dirk Nowitzki or something.
No, I did not say the season's over. I'm just saying right now, if they don't make a move at the five spot, pick up, trade. Well, I mean, I know there's really nothing in the free agency pool. And we'll go over that more. But if they do something there, if they don't do something there, then I mean, their hopes of making the playoffs, their hopes of a good season are really, you know, crumbling right before us. Just because you can't play a whole season with guys that probably should be, you know, third string centers on other teams. And it's tough to say that, but that's just true. I mean, Thomas Bryant, he's great, but I mean, his backup situation has just not been great. And now they have to play, you know, a starting role, either Mo Wagner or Robin Lopez. I don't know what your thoughts are on that, Ben, but I'm guessing you don't have the highest hopes for our guys.
Andrzej Pasichnik season, boy, all right? The kid's going to break out. No, you're right. I echo your thoughts. I sang my goodbyes to this team and my hopes and dreams earlier in the podcast. I don't see it. If we're going to look for a silver lining, there really isn't many, but if we're going to pull out some positive pixel where the sun don't shine, Mo Wagner is going to have the similar opportunity that Thomas Bryant had. You mentioned Dwight Howard injury. Thomas Bryant came in and immediately made an impact and turned some heads with the Wizards front office. And Mo Wagner showed some flashes of being a productive player last year. He had a couple 30-point games. He led the league in charges per game. Right. I wish he would actually try and protect the rim as opposed to just tossing his body around, but that's a different story. But you're right. The Robin Lopez thing, and we can touch on this a little more later, but it really pains me to see that one of Tommy Shepard's biggest mishaps is getting predominantly highlighted this early in the season. The Robin Lopez signing was immediately a bad contract right when he signed it, just because, like you said, he's a third string center on most teams. I believe they overpaid him. I don't know their situation. I do know for a fact that Tommy Shepard had told other free agent centers that they had no chance at starting because Thomas Bryant was their starting center. So I don't know if that diluted the free agent pool for them. Because if you tell a guy like Tristan Thompson, hey, you can't start on our team, your chances of signing a player like Tristan Thompson become much lower and you end up with a Robin Lopez. So I think Tommy Shepard shot himself in the foot there. And now we're seeing the consequences of that. The a single free agent mishap like that and the team with no depth can really sink your season. And I think you're right. I have a difficult time imagining how they're going to move forward without making a trade. And then we can explore this further later. But I mean, look, you said it yourself. The free agent market has been dry since the second week of the free agency, and they don't have very many movable pieces on the roster.
Right. And I don't want to just make this a depressing segment. I mean, I'm not giving all hope up on the season. I'm just saying, yes, their depth at the five, their bigs, it's not looking good. I definitely want to get more into how this is, I mean, how some silver lining stuff, right? I mean, I know they just coming off a bad week, but there are still some good takeaways.
Before we get into the good takeaways and who might step up, Anthony, talking about health, you know, I'm a health conscious guy. I really do care about what I put in my body, Anthony. And that's why I eat Built Bar. And whether you're looking to lose or maintain weight, give yourself a chance to indulge with a delicious treat. My favorite flavor is the cookies and cream. And the crazy part about Built Bar is, Anthony, it's healthy. It's a low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber snack. And remember when I was keto, Anthony, for a year and a half, starting myself hating what I was eating? I wish I had Built Bar because it's perfect for that diet. And Built Bar has reset the promo code for its relaunch. And maybe if you call and order now online, you get a free cooler with your purchase while surprise lasts. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code locked on and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code locked on for 20% off at builtbar.com. Betting on the Wizards doesn't have to be a guessing game. If you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling, get daily picks and quick hitting advice to make the smartest possible wagers. Subscribe to the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get your podcasts. 2020 is mercifully over. It's time for a fresh start and a few more wins. If you're betting this year and want more wins, listen to Locked On Bets with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They are picking college basketball, football, and NBA locks all winter long. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get podcasts. Welcome back, Locked On Wizards listeners. You're Locked On Wizards. I'm Ben. I'm here with Anthony. Let's get into it a little bit deeper. Thomas Bryant's out for the whole season. The Wizards are kind of stuck with what they have. We saw on Saturday when he went down, Denny Avdija stepped up, had his best game of the season. Mo Wagner hit some clutch shots. Well, I guess what are your biggest takeaways on the recent losses and then dovetailing that into who do you think can step up with Thomas Bryant and who, I guess, has the biggest opportunity to make more of an impact now that he's out?
Right. We were pretty deflated going into the game against Miami. You know, Brad not available due to COVID protocol. Russ was out and obviously Thomas Bryant went down in the first couple of minutes. So they played pretty much the whole game without their three best players, guys that really stepped up I mean, like you just said, Denny had a great game, 25-5, two steals. You know, he shot well. I mean, we've been talking about this guy for a while now. Your boy, Garrison Matthews, coming off the bench, 23 minutes, 22 points. He shot great. 6-for-12 from the floor, 4-for-7 from three. And, you know, finally, he gets a chance. He got his shot, and he didn't waste his opportunities. He looked super confident out there. And, you know, guys like, I mean, you know, Jerome Robinson, too. I mean, these guys all came in, and they shot the ball really, really well, and they stepped up. I love what I saw from Rui as well. And, you know, I think we'll have to give him some time for shooting outside. He hasn't been shooting, you know, particularly well from outside, but, you know, the season's still young. I want to talk more about Garrison Matthews. What did you think from what you saw?
I mean, I've practically been begging this team, not that my opinion matters at all, but I've been begging this team to play Garrison Matthews for this entire season and last year too. It seemed like everybody who watches this team except Scott Brooks had faith in this kid, because every time he played, he made an impact. And people think he's just a shooter, and as we saw against Miami, he's way more than a shooter. He's a competent defender. He flies all over the court defensively. He gets deflections. He puts his body on the line. He takes charges. He stays with his man. He fights through screens. He does everything you'd want in a backup guard. And in today's NBA, shooting is a commodity. And this kid is one of the best shooters on the roster. And he's not afraid to shoot. A lot of players with his role on a two-way contract are afraid to miss shots. Yet, he's over here shooting, and he's taking shots, and he's making them at a high volume. And I think now the Wizards winning and competing, I think, is going to be difficult. Russell Westbrook has kind of played part-time this whole season, and it's probably going to be an ongoing issue for them. You mentioned Bradley Beal. He's back now, but the COVID protocol thing could be an issue in the future for them as well. This season should have always been more than winning and losing games for the Wizards, because the roster is that young. Now, with Thomas Bryant out, we're going to see players like Denny Abdia, Garrison Matthews get actual chances to develop. And that's what the season is all about, the Wizards. I know they made a win now move with the Russell Westbrook trade. This team was never going to win a championship. And this whole season should have been about development. And I'm afraid to say that now they may not have a choice but to kind of change their scope of thinking and just focus on developing for the rest of the year.
Right, right. And Ben, I want to throw it right back to you. Robin Lopez, Mo Wagner, what we saw from them, obviously we just did not praise them in the first segment. But Robin Lopez, 13 points, 5-for-6 from the floor. Mo Wagner, 13 points, 4-for-7 from the floor, 2-for-5 from three. What are your takeaways? I mean, you know, Mo also had 7 rebounds. What are your takeaways there, I guess? He did foul out.
Yeah, Mo Wagner, I thought, played well. And as I talked about earlier, he showed flashes last season of being a productive player. And I think he has the skill set that I think most teams look for in a big man nowadays. He can space the floor a bit. And I'm not even going to blame him for fouling out. It's kind of hard to find a rhythm. He rarely plays. And when he gets on the floor, I think he has a short leash. You know what I mean? Like he has to make an impact. Otherwise, he's yanked off the floor. So I think he's a tad erratic. But that's going to be abated just because now they have no choice but to play him. But I thought they played well. But the league is stacked with talented big men. You saw Embiid, Ayton is coming up. I'm sorry to say that, like, when you're matching up Robin Lopez against these elite centers, you're in trouble. And I appreciate their hustle, and they did play well against Miami. I think they exceeded expectations, and perhaps they'll continue to do so. But the ceiling for those players is only so high. Right. And even if they do reach their potential, you're still kind of at a loss.
Absolutely. And we kind of saw Scott split them throughout the game. Do you think that's going to be a common, you know, theme this season now with Thomas Bryant out? And if they don't make a move at the five position, do you think if they don't make any pickups, if they don't trade for anyone, do you think they'll, you know, try and kind of split the game up between Lopez and Wagner?
I think so. Just unfortunately, just because Scott Brooks has shown kind of an unwillingness to play unorthodox lineups when it comes to the front court. Right. But let me get your takes on this. We mentioned Mo Wagner and Robin Lopez. Their ceilings are obviously pretty low as players. Denny Abdia is 6'10". Anthony Gill we haven't seen very much of.
Right.
Rui Hachimura is 6'9". Why not kind of mix it up and play a smaller big lineup, if that makes sense? We talked about it off podcast with how the Rockets played. Obviously, they had the personnel. PJ Tucker is strong and big enough to play center, albeit it's unorthodox and didn't work in the playoffs. But I kind of like the idea of playing small at times with Denny Avdia at center, Rui, maybe Isak Bonga, and you can match, maybe not with height, but you got the length there. And Denny Avdia is 6'10", and he can handle the ball. I think he could present some problems. I think that probably gives them a better chance to win and produce offensively, at least, than playing Rob Lopez, at least. I don't know.
Yeah, that seems like a that would seem like a great option. I don't think Scott would really go for it. He really seems like he wants to play Denny as, you know, that three role, more of a guard role type. And Rui, you know, he has Rui out in the perimeter a lot. So I would love to see those guys. I mean, even DB too. DB, what is he? 6'10", almost 7 foot. And we never see guys like that, you know, playing, you know, power forward or down, you know, down low more. If they were to, I think that would be great for them. At least have a, like you said, like a big, you know, quote unquote, bigger, smaller lineup.
Right.
You know, maybe not the smallest lineup, but, you know, a lot of guys in there, maybe not 7 foot, but around, you know, that 6'9" to 6'10" and 11. I mean, you know, range. And that could pose, you know, as a problem. Maybe they change up the defense a little bit, maybe go to the zone. Huh?
Yeah. This team can't even play half man defense. Like, they, I don't know if I trust them playing zone, but I hear you. I think it's all the season. I think, unfortunately, is going to be all experimental going forward. They don't have much to lose now. I think the idea of winning basketball games becomes a lot more complicated when your starting center is out, especially when you don't have depth and you've entirely relied on Bradley Beal to win games. And it still hasn't won you games, despite him averaging 35 points a game or whatever he's putting up at this point. They were 2-7, because let's be honest, they were 2-7 before Thomas Bryant went down. They were historically one of the worst defensive teams in the NBA. If your season, and I hate to say it, if your season hinges upon Thomas Bryant, you're going to be in trouble anyway. And they showed they were. Not to say that they weren't going to make the playoffs or turn their season around. Perhaps they could have, but they didn't give us much evidence to work with that they were going to do that. And once Thomas Bryant is out, and now you have to depend on Scott Brooks, who hasn't shown much creativity to be creative. It's like, there's so many factors that are going against the Wizards. And let's be honest, they got a bout of bad luck here. I'm just not sure they can overcome it.
It's so tough too. After Thomas Bryant went down, the Wizards are ranked 29th out of 30 teams in rebounding per game. That is just, and without him, that's so hard to overcome. And the numbers don't lie, right? They're one of the best offensive teams in the league, but right now the Wizards are dead last in points allowed this season at 122 points a game. So there's not too many good things to look forward to for this team defensively. They're just struggling so much, and they're literally a top two team in points scored a game. Like, they're a top two offensive team that can be argued right now. And that doesn't matter for them just because of, I mean, how much they're giving up. It's so tough to watch because they have given themselves a chance every game. They got blown out in the third quarter against the Heat, but did you watch the fourth quarter? They looked great. They came back out and they got right back in the game. I mean, and that's with their three best players out, and they showed they have that type of energy. They can be competitive with, you know, with any team, really. I know the Heat are off to a little shaky start, but that's pretty much the same team that is fresh off a finals run, and they lost by four.
That's the thing. There's only so much you can do with energy and hustle. If you don't have the personnel to defend and make stops when you need to make stops, then you can have all the energy, heart, and hustle in the world. But if you don't have the length, the size, right, the quickness, or the capacity to play high level defense, and you just can't, like I told you earlier, I mean, we can't ask these people and these players to be what they're not. It's a tough ask, because Howell Neto was never asked to defend Kyrie Irving on a consistent level before this season. Robin Lopez was never asked to defend Joel Embiid. Isak Bonga shouldn't be asked to guard LeBron James and Kevin Durant.
Exactly. And he's literally probably the best defensive player on the team, and that's a problem.
Yeah, that's the thing.
For as much there's no issue with Isak, but that's a problem for the team.
Yeah, right? I think as much praise as we've given him defensively, if Isak Bonga is your best defensive player, you're dead last in defense for a reason, because he's 20, what is he, 21 years old?
He's young.
Shouldn't be in consistent minutes, and he's guarding superstars, and now he's out the rotation. I mean, it's a tornado of issues that the Wizards simply, at this point in the year, they should have been able to remedy these issues in the offseason, and this is the result that they're kind of dealt.
Right, and we just saw Brad score 101 points in two games. That's legendary, legendary stuff. And after that, the fact, you know, he's pissed, he's angry, and you know, you heard his comments. We can't guard a parked car.
Do I sing Whitney Houston again, Brad? I will always love you. It might be the beginning of the end. Let's be honest, and that also is totally fine, because as we talked about in last podcast, if I'm putting up 40, 50, 60 points a game in losses, hey, Pat Riley, call Tommy now. Get me out of here, man. I get it. I get it all. But come on, man. At some point, something's got to give. Something's got to give. The patience has to run thin. Otherwise, you're selling fans, you're selling players, you're selling yourself false hope, and you're continuing to lose. And then when these injuries happen, albeit significant ones, derail your entire season, you have to look yourself in the eye and say, hey, I made an error, and it's time to fix my wrongs. And the only way I can fix my wrongs is by making the moves I've been very, very reluctant to make. But you got to look yourself in the mirror at some point if you're the Washington Wizards.
Right. And it's just tough to see with this team so dominant offensively. Brad leading the league in scoring by a big, big margin. Russell Westbrook right now is currently leading the league in assists. And right, it's tough to watch. But you know, before we get into more about the upcoming game against the Suns and more on the loss against the Heat, I want to tell you guys about Bet Online. Are we ready for some football? College football heads towards the national championship with a huge matchup. NFL wild card round just finished up with the divisional round right around the corner. There is only one place that has you covered and one place we trust. BetOnline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at BetOnline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. The wild card games are now behind us with the divisional round ahead. Will the Bills keep it rolling? Does Tom Brady have enough left in the tank for another Super Bowl run? Who is your pick? Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Coming up later this week on Lockdown Wizards, we'll have Thomas Bryant's trainer, Akil Bordelon, on the podcast later this week to discuss Thomas's development and what this injury could mean for his future. Welcome back, DC. You're still Lockdown Wizards with Ben Mahich and myself, Anthony Citadino. Now with Thomas Bryant out, Russell Westbrook out with quad soreness, Ben, how does that change your outlook on the season as a whole? I mean, I know, you know, you just sang Whitney Houston, you just sang the team goodbye, but is the season over as a whole? I mean, if it is, why is it over? Go right ahead.
It's over because I've seriously contemplated the idea of bringing Iman Mahinmi back. They told me 2021 was going to be better, and I'm sitting here legitimately thinking Iman Mahinmi might be the best free agent center available.
Oh, boy.
So that's why the season is either beginning on the worst note ever in 2021 or it's effectively over, Anthony. But that's the thing. We have to dig deeper. We have to dig deeper with this team because this season was never about winning. This season was always about developing Denny Avdia, developing Rui Hachimura, finding out if you have a diamond in the rough with Garrison Matthews. If I can ask Lockdown Wizards fans, can any of you name the college Garrison Matthews went to? Nobody can.
I can. I'm pretty sure. Is it Lipscomb? I'm almost positive it's Lipscomb.
Yeah, he went to – I don't know what it is. Lipscomb? Never even heard of it. He went there, and the kid's playing high-level NBA basketball, and he's shown to be a productive player. Kudos to Tommy Shepard and co. for finding a player like him. And now it's time to figure out, can he be a productive player consistently? Did you find a solid role player? Is he one of these Duncan Robinson players that came out of nowhere and now he's putting up numbers and could be a consistent player for the foreseeable future? That's what the season was about. Let's figure out what the Wizards have in these guys. Is Denny Avdia a blue chipper in the rough? Is Rui Hachimura a player you can seriously build around, or is he just a role player? Let's figure out what these guys have. That's what the season was about. So it's over in terms of winning. But with the development and what actually matters with this team, it's not over.
So you're putting playoff hopes to rest. That's it. Out the window. It's gone.
It was creeping out the door before this injury even happened. Let's be honest. I mean, you mentioned that they've been competitive in every single game, and so be it. They've been historically one of the worst defenses. Me and you have watched basketball for a very long time, as I'm sure our listeners have. They've been one of the worst defensive teams I've ever seen in my life. And that is no exaggeration. To give up damn near 300 points in two games, give up 150 points in regulation, those sort of – there's conceivably a game where they might give up 100, 160, 70, 80 points in regulation. That is absolutely absurd. When you're scoring at a high level but you're giving up more points than you are, I mean, I can't give you much credit for the offense you have. Russell Westbrook, Bradley Beal, sure, your offense should be good. By virtue of having those players, your offense will be good. We knew their offense was going to be good. But during our season preview, we talked about their defense. Anthony, this team might be worse defensively than anybody expected.
Yeah, we didn't really expect this. But before the season, we pretty much were positive that they were going to make the postseason. And I'm not out on that dream yet. I'm still not out on that dream. I'm not. I'm here to tell you guys why. I'm here to tell you and every other disgruntled fan out there why that this season's not over. I want to go back. I want to just go take it back a few years. If we remember the 2013-2014 season, going all the way back to your boy Jan Vesely.
Why would you do that to us?
You miss him. Come on. You
right now, him. Sure, I miss him. Why not?
Right. That season, they started off 3-7. Okay, so not quite the start, you know, I mean, one game better, but they ended up 44-38. They beat the Bulls in the Eastern Conference, you know, the first round, 4-1, and then they ended up, you know, losing to the Pacers that Paul George, David West, Lance Stephenson, you know, Roy Hibbert team, right? So, you know, that was a rough start. They were able to turn it around. You know, their core group they had that year was John Wall, Ariza, Beal, and Gortat, you know. And we remember those great teams. One of your favorite Polish hoopers, Gortat. And how about the 2016-2017 season? They started out that season 2-8. Not a very good start. I really want to rewind and go back to what Ben Mahich was saying after their 10th game. 2-8. Oh, season might be over. They ended up with 49 wins.
No, I don't think that's true. I don't think that's what I was saying, Anthony. And I'll tell you why this is different. Otto Porter isn't walking through that door. Bojan Bogdanović isn't walking through that door. Nene Hilario is not walking through that door. These are veteran players who you could depend on. And if the going went rough, you knew that you had players that you can count on.
Right. They even
this one just seems flat out bad. And also, right. Also, a fundamental difference between this team and the especially the 2013-14 team that you mentioned. That team was a top defensive team. Nene and Marcin Gortat were elite defenders. Trevor Ariza was a top 10 perimeter defender in the NBA. You had a young John Wall, young Bradley Beal. This was a solid defensive team. And that's why they were able to turn it around.
Right.
And this is crazy, and we could talk about this perhaps now on a different podcast, Anthony. Randy Whitman is going to finish his Washington Wizards career as head coach with more wins and a more impressive wins and a more impressive tenure than Scott Brooks. Who in the hell would have predicted that?
Right. You know, I'm not sitting here saying that this season is going to turn out just like those, but I'm saying that it's not over. We don't know what could happen. Maybe they can turn it around. I mean, obviously, seeing from this year to last, you know, from the past two seasons, it has not been good defensively. And in the great words of Ben Mahich, you can't ask a duck to be a swan. So, and that, you know, that's what we're really dealing with here. They're not going to be that strong defensively, but you know, I'm just trying to give some hope out there that, hey, other bad starts happened too. And, you know, they were able to overcome this year. They have two all NBA, you know, talents. They just lost their big man. Hopefully they can try and finagle a trade of some sort to, you know, to turn this season around. And if they don't, we might be home for the playoffs.
So, Anthony, let me ask you this. Let's say we do a podcast in 3 months and the Wizards are 500, right? They're turning the season around. Hell, they've turned the season around. Why did that happen? if they are going to turn the season around, why do you have hope that that might even happen?
I guess Beal just playing at that MVP level. Right now, I'm pretty sure Steph Curry, they are undefeated when he scores 30-plus. They have not won a game where he has not scored 30-plus. So I know we're talking about two different teams here, but Beal is that good offensively that he – I mean, every game has been right there. Not there hasn't been any blowouts. And that's obviously from how great, you know, offensively they really are. And with Russell there, I know he shoots a lot. I know, a lot of people don't, you know, like his style of play. I still think he can be super effective on the offensive end. If he shoots the right way, if we haven't really seen him slash and get to the basket as much this year, but if they start meshing and if Beal just, I mean, really we're asking him to carry this team, right? Like for hope for this season, if we're not asking him to carry this team, what are we asking for?
Asking that for 2 years and it hasn't worked. That's why I don't have much faith that it'll now suddenly work, even though they've gotten worse with Thomas Bryant now. Like if it didn't work with Thomas Bryant starting, it sure as hell won't work if Mo Wagner or Robin Lopez are starting.
I just don't want to define it on 10 games though, right? I mean, the first 10 games is really hard to judge on the last 10 games of the season. If you know what I mean.
But we have this is a season and change now. Like this team isn't different than last year's. We've seen that this is the same roster. And Russell Westbrook is playing part-time now. Right. I mean, he's played part-time basketball though. And he's injured with a quad.
Right.
And I think this is the most ironic thing. A lot of people are saying Ted Leonsis took a parting shot at John Wall with his Twitter message saying, they're getting the player in Russell Westbrook, who's not only durable, but he's high character. And the high character thing, I have no question about. He's done wonders for the team culture-wise.
Yeah.
But the durability thing, he's been less durable than John Wall. Who would have predicted? What an irony. What a sick irony for the Washington Wizards, who traded their franchise player, face of the franchise for the last 10 years, for a player in Russell Westbrook who turned out to be less durable and who's having a less productive year. And his arguably his worst season in the NBA. So he hasn't played very long and he's been injured, but what a cruel irony for the Wizards.
But before the season, did you think John Wall was going to play this much with the Rockets? Did you think they were going to play him like 35 minutes a game?
No way. I mean, I was a huge proponent of the Russell Westbrook trade and I'm still glad the team made the trade. They took a risk and they swung for the fences and they needed to, but I'm just saying it's ironic how like they traded John for the reasons that Russ Westbrook has been giving him issues.
Right. Right.
Like they traded John because they didn't think he was durable. And now Russ isn't durable. And John is.
I totally get what you're saying. Yeah. I can't believe that we're seeing that with Russ, that they're being super cautious with Russ and Houston is really, you know, going full out with John. And I love to see John get all those minutes and play, you know, every game and go the 36 minutes. I want to see that from Russ too, though. I mean, Russ should be playing back-to-backs at this point. I don't see a reason why he shouldn't be playing these back-to-backs. Obviously Scott Brooks and his team, they think differently and they're going to ride. It looks like they're going to ride this out for the rest of the season.
I mean, he is injured with this quad. I don't know how serious it is. They say it's just a quad soreness sort of thing. And I have a hunch that's probably a little bit more serious than they're leading on.
But even before the quad, right? I mean, he was.
I think he's been playing with it, though. I mean, you can kind of – you mentioned it earlier. He never drives the basket.
Right. It wasn't confirmed. It wasn't a confirmed thing.
Bad jump shots, and he hasn't – I don't think he's had a dunk this whole year. And I think that Russell Westbrook is a player you can expect a dunk or two every single game as an explosive player, and he hasn't been that this year. So I think maybe it's been a lingering issue – and I think they're being cautious with it and deservedly so. He's 32 years old, but
right.
And that's the thing. They have some depth at the backup point guard position. Howell Neto has been good this year. Ish Smith has been relatively dependable. And it just sucks that they lack so much depth at the other positions where it just can't overcompensate. Like when one guy goes down, the whole roster kind of crumbles. And we're seeing that right now. And I guess before we end, Anthony, we got Phoenix coming up. Bradley Beal's back in the lineup. Thomas Bryant obviously isn't. So, and Russell Westbrook presumably isn't playing either. So we have kind of Brad again, just carrying the team with a bunch of role guys. What do you expect? I mean, you kind of called, you predicted victories last week. Are you sticking to that?
it's going to be tough to get a win against Phoenix. I think they're definitely capable of it. I'm going to go with a loss against Phoenix. And it's tough.
Let me ask you this, Anthony, and then we can close on this and talk about this in a future segment. I just wanted to get your take on this because I'm just legitimately curious. So they're losing. Let's say they lose the next game, and let's say they start 2-10 at the very least. When do we look at Scott Brooks and say it's time for them to make a change? Or do you think they're going to rely on these injuries as an excuse?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, Tommy Shepard, he's in charge now. Ernie Grunfeld, in his tenure, he never really fired his coaches, too quickly, when they were really doing, bad, and he would extend them, right? Tommy Shepard, I don't know if he'll do the same. I think, though, if it gets to the point where, they're 20 games in, if they don't have 5 wins, yeah, there's going to need to be a coaching change, right? I still think Scott Brooks is definitely capable of being a great coach in the NBA, and he's proven it. But I think the issue lies greater with just the landscape of the team with their depth. Right. We've talked about this. I mean, where they're lacking with a veteran, wing player, they're lacking in depth with their size. These are big things. And just, not having good, that good of defensive pieces all together. Like, Bradley is a good defensive guard, and that's great. Isak Bonga is, he's a good defensive player, but he hardly plays anymore. And everyone else, I'm sorry, but it's kind of looking subpar, and the numbers don't lie. And so far, these teams against them, they're playing them really well. What?
So you're giving Scott 20 games?
I mean, yeah. I mean, if he's at 20 games and they don't have 5 wins yet, I mean, he probably will already be fired. But if they somehow are if they're 500 at that point, he's not fired. He's not fired.
All right, Anthony, it sounds like the countdown for Scott Brooks is goodbye. It's starting. I'm not going to sing I Will Always Love You to Scott Brooks because I've had some.
He probably enjoyed it. He's probably going to listen to this on his way to work tomorrow. Come on.
All right, Scotty. Well, we appreciate your time in D.C. Perhaps it won't be here much longer. We'll see. We, of course, aren't rooting for anybody to get fired, but that's kind of the nature of the business that basketball is. Wizards fans, we appreciate you listening. We got Phoenix coming up. Maybe we'll be wrong. We jinxed them last week. We predicted wins. We got lost. Let's predict some losses. Let's get some wins. Who knows?
Right. I'm always wrong when it comes to betting, too. So I'm just going to predict them to lose the rest of the season, and hopefully they'll end up with a winning record. Ben, setting the over-under on Brad 40 points against Phoenix. So you taking the over, the under?
Going under. I think he's going 35.
Ooh, okay. All right. I'll make it. Yeah. I'll go over. Definitely go over. He's going to drop 50 on them.
Ooh, in a win this time. All right, Wizards fans, appreciate you listening. Anthony, you got anything else?
DC, we love you. We appreciate you. We always love rocking out with you. We'll be back tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of your night.
You are Locked On Wizards, your daily Washington Wizards podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.